Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. Today is Tuesday, August 27th. I'm Peter Biello. On today's episode, a group of nonprofits works to combat so-called hidden homelessness. A state judge rules to keep third-party candidates off of Georgia's presidential ballot. And WNBA rookie Caitlin Clark draws a record-breaking crowd to State Farm Arena. These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. A judge says four independent and third-party candidates should be kept off Georgia's presidential ballots. The ruling yesterday by an administrative law judge still leaves the final decision to Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. At stake is ballot access for independent candidates Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Cornel West, the Green Party's Jill Stein, and the Party for Socialism and Liberation's Claudia De La Cruz. The judge ruled those candidates didn't meet the legal requirements to appear on the ballot. If Raffensperger upholds the decision, Democrats believe it would favor their candidate, Kamala Harris, in a closely divided state that Joe Biden won by fewer than 12,000 votes in 2020. Savannah Democrats gathered today ahead of Vice President Kamala Harris's planned two-day campaign swing through South Georgia tomorrow and Thursday. As GPB's Benjamin Payne reports, they focused on the vice president's economic message.
Elected officials and campaign volunteers stood outside a low-income housing complex to share Harris's plans to lower the cost of housing, including through a $25,000 down payment assistance program for first-time homebuyers. Organizers also took time to criticize Project 2025, a conservative blueprint written by several former Trump administration officials outlining their priorities for a second term. Trump has recently tried to distance himself from the document, but Georgia State Senator Derek Mallow isn't buying it.
Folks should wake up and look at Project 2025 as a threat to democracy, because it is. And those can deny that they had a part in it or writing it, but my grandmother would always tell me something in the milk just ain't clean.
Among other things, Project 2025 calls for the elimination of a federal fund to increase the nation's housing supply for low-income Americans. For GPB News, I'm Benjamin Payne in Savannah.
A federal judge out of Georgia's Southern District Court in Brunswick ruled in favor of 17 states, including Georgia, yesterday to halt the full implementation of a new Department of Labor rule meant to expand protections for seasonal farm workers. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more.
The judge's preliminary injunction means farms in Georgia and other suing states won't have to enforce the new rule for now. The DOL finalized the rule earlier this year to address violations under the federal H-2A visa program. That includes adding protections against retaliation for labor and self-organizing. But plaintiffs say that violates the Constitution. Ag workers have been banned from unionizing since 1935. Kelsey Eberle, attorney with FarmStan, represented parties in support of the rule in an amicus brief.
As these gains are made in the legislature, or as regulatory improvements are made, you know, agribusiness is very quick to challenge those in court.
She says they hope for clarity on the ruling, which could impact the safety of hundreds of thousands of workers. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
Two workers are dead and a third is injured after an explosion at a Delta Airlines maintenance facility near the Atlanta airport this morning. The airline says it's heartbroken by the incident but is providing few details about it. WSB-TV reports a tire on a plane exploded. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports several Atlanta fire units and police were sent to the maintenance hangar near Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport shortly after 5 in the morning. Delta says it's working with authorities to investigate what happened. The Southern Poverty Law Center estimates at least 30,000 people live in motels in metro Atlanta. Now, a group of nonprofits in the city is working to address this hidden homelessness that many working families are facing. Frontline Housing is one of six groups doing outreach and providing financial support with the goal of moving 1,000 families from motels to stable housing by June of next year. GPB's Amanda Andrews spoke to staff and participants in the Motel to Home program.
Would you like a hygiene kit? I can walk up if you need me to.
Yes,
and we have information about housing.
Okay.
About once a month, Frontline Housing and their volunteers will set up shop at a motel called the Live-In Lodge in Jonesboro. Frontline Executive Director Mary Grace King makes sure each volunteer walking around the motel has their arms full of hand-decorated boxes filled with supplies.
So it's just like hygiene stuff, deodorant, soap, some shampoo. Feminine hygiene.
The toiletries aren't the main focus. King says the management here and at other sites aren't always happy to see them.
Sometimes the hotels don't really want us here because it can be seen as us like taking their business. Mm. But when you have volunteers and like stuff to give away, it's a little bit easier to kind of disguise that we're trying to take their business a little bit.
Because what King and others are really trying to do for motel residents is provide them a way out of here. So far, Frontline has helped about 150, mostly South Atlanta families, find stable, permanent housing. King says the biggest obstacles are usually financial.
So the families want to move. The families want more stable housing, but you have to make a certain amount to get approved for housing. You have to have a certain amount of credit.
And not just credit. It's all the fees that come with moving into an apartment, like a security deposit. Motel to Home program participant Rashida Rahman James says her family couldn't afford more payments.
It was tough because we had a storage unit that we were paying, I think, $500 every month for, in addition to paying $460 a week for our hotel. Plus, we had a car note at the time, and my husband and I were working, so it was a lot.
Their housing costs were just over $2,300 a month. That plus the cost of transportation left Rahman James with no way to save, and her three sons were legally considered homeless. King says other working families living in motels make too much money for government-subsidized housing programs.
Because they're not considered, like, chronically homeless or street homeless. They are paying their own motel bill, and sometimes that can disqualify them for other services.
But once Rahman James was connected with Frontline, she got the financial boost she needed to transition to an apartment.
The $1,000 that was contributed to our move-in was definitely welcomed and appreciated.
The $1,000 was enough for an apartment security deposit. And Frontline doesn't stop there. Once a family's moved into a new apartment, King says they get further cash assistance.
So it's a cash transfer program where we give families cash directly on a debit card, help them open a savings account, and they save throughout 6 months. But we're giving them the dollars to save.
This is what I came up on, encyclopedia, so we have to have those.
Mm-hmm. Rahman James and her family moved into their 3-bed, 2-bath apartment home in January, and now their monthly housing costs are actually less than back in the motel.
Have a seat. This is my boys' room.
She says the budget is still tight sometimes, but leaving the motel has been great for her children.
I mean, I love it and I miss it, but I love that my kids, I don't have to like quiet them because we're not on the 6th floor anymore to make them shh, no stomping, you know. When their Legos, one or two, end up outside of the door in the hallway, I don't have to feel bad about it.
The Motel to Home Alliance has placed nearly 400 families with 10 months left to reach their goal. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews in Clayton County.
The American Red Cross says the nation is experiencing a blood emergency because of recent severe weather events, including Tropical Storm Debbie. The organization said yesterday Debbie and other extreme conditions, including western wildfires, forced it to cancel nearly 60 blood drives in the past few months. That's led to a shortfall in donations and complicated efforts to rebuild the nation's blood supply. The Red Cross is offering $20 Amazon gift cards to promote donations through the end of August. The president of Georgia Military College has announced plans to step down. The college said yesterday Lieutenant General William Caldwell IV will leave his position when a successor is appointed. Caldwell began his leadership at the college in 2013 after a 37-year career in the U.S. Army. A statement from the college credits him with growing its enrollment and assets and expanding student opportunities. Georgia Military College has about 12,000 students across 13 campuses headquartered in Middle Georgia's Milledgeville. Mercer University says it hit a record for enrollment. The university says more than 9,000 students enrolled this fall, up 1.5% from last fall's enrollment. More students enrolling in their law and medical schools contributed to the university's growth. Norfolk Southern has reached tentative 5-year agreements with 4 of its unions. The Atlanta-based railway announced the deals in partnership with BNSF Railway on Friday. If ratified, the agreements would cover about 30% of Norfolk Southern's union workforce and come 4 months before the opening of the next round of collective bargaining. A public-private partnership and the National Park Service have broken ground on a $15 million project to renovate one part of the state's most visited park service unit. The Cumberland Community Improvement District is partnering with the agency to rehabilitate Pace's Mill at the Chattahoochee River National Recreation Area just north of Atlanta. It's the first major improvement in nearly 50 years at Pace's Mill, which is slated for new parking and landscape features, increased river access, and a new visitor center by 2027. The entire Chattahoochee River National Recreation Area had a record-breaking 3.5 million visitors in 2022, with $167 million in visitor spending.
Hi, I'm David Zelsky from A Fork in the Road on GPB. Join me Thursday, August 29th at the Tybee Post Theater on Tybee Island for a special live taping of the Fork in the Road podcast. We'll be talking about the importance of coastal Georgia and its seafood with the dedicated individuals who farm it, fish it, and serve it. Find more information at gpb.org/community.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
For the second time this year, enthusiasm for WNBA rookie Caitlin Clark of the Indiana Fever drove record-setting attendance at an Atlanta Dream game. A WNBA and Georgia record 17,608 tickets were sold for last night's matchup. That's 33 more than the number sold for the Fever game in June. As a drumline performed outside State Farm Arena before tip-off, fans queued up, wearing gear showing off support for both teams. Michelle O'Hegarty showed up in her Indiana t-shirt. She says Clark's an amazing player.
She has a positive attitude. She brings a great face to women's basketball. My daughters are basketball players, and she just inspires so many young people.
O'Hegarty is here with her friend Ramonica Harton of Smyrna, who's wearing an Atlanta Dream t-shirt. She says their friendship will survive no matter how the game goes.
Yeah, we've already agreed. She came close to saying that she wasn't going to speak to me or even sit with me, but we're going to be friends.
Yeah, as long as she's cheering for Caitlin Clark and Indiana Fever, we're gonna get along great.
Willie Jones of Atlanta came to the game with her dad. She says she wasn't as interested in basketball before she saw Clark play.
Now I'm way interested. Like, I play it. I sometimes like do it at my house.
Last night's game included a celebration of the 1996 USA Women's Basketball Olympic team, during which they were given credit for making Atlanta the birthplace of the WNBA. And performing at halftime, hip-hop legends Goody Mob. The game itself was disappointing for Atlanta fans. The Dream fell to the Fever 84-79. The two teams are scheduled to meet again in Indiana on Sunday, September 8th. And that's all we've got for this edition of Georgia Today. We appreciate you tuning in. We're glad you chose Georgia Today as a way to keep you informed about what's happening in the state. You can always find more headlines at our website, gpb.org/news. And we're going to be back tomorrow afternoon with all the latest headlines. So while you're thinking of it, subscribe to Georgia Today. That way we'll pop up automatically in your podcast feed. And if you've got feedback or a story idea, something going on in the state that we should know about, the best way to reach us is by email. Send a note to GeorgiaToday@gpb.org. That'll go to the whole team. Again, the email, GeorgiaToday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.